Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Practice Shipping Creative Work is a short nonfiction book by Seth Godin that sits at the intersection of creativity, self-help, and professional development. Rather than treating creativity as a rare talent or a burst of inspiration, the book argues that creative output is the result of a repeatable practice built through consistency, courage, and intentional work. Its purpose is to help readers move from hesitation to action, especially when fear, perfectionism, or self-doubt keep projects unfinished. Godin focuses on the habits and attitudes that allow artists, writers, entrepreneurs, and other creators to keep producing and sharing work even when the outcome is uncertain. The book is less about technique in a narrow craft sense, and more about the discipline required to make creative work a public contribution. In that way, it functions as a manifesto for showing up regularly, doing the work, and shipping it into the world. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, creativity as a repeatable discipline rather than a mysterious gift. A central idea in the practice is that creativity should be understood as something developed through action, not something reserved for a lucky few. Godin challenges the common belief that creative people simply wait for inspiration and then produce something valuable. Instead, he presents creativity as a discipline that grows through routine, repetition, and sustained effort. This shift matters because it changes the reader's relationship to starting work. If creativity is a practice, then the goal is not to be endlessly inspired, but to build a habit that makes output more likely. That framing also reduces the pressure to create something extraordinary every time. The book argues that regular making matters more than occasional flashes of brilliance, because consistent effort trains judgment, resilience, and confidence. In practical terms, this means treating creative work as a daily responsibility rather than an emotional event. By doing so, the creator becomes less dependent on mood and more able to generate work with reliability, which is one of the book's most important professional insights. Secondly, shipping work is the line between amateur hesitation and professional commitment. One of the book's most distinctive themes is the idea of shipping, meaning finishing work and releasing it into the world. Godin treats this act as the decisive difference between merely intending to create and actually participating as a creator. Shipping is important because it introduces accountability once work is shared. It can be judged, ignored, improved, or built upon. That exposure is uncomfortable, but the book argues that it is also necessary. Without shipping, creative effort remains private and never becomes contribution. This is why Godin links shipping to professionalism. Professionals do not wait forever for perfect conditions or perfect confidence. They produce with intent and accept the reality of public response. The emphasis on shipping also encourages a healthier view of imperfection. A project does not need to be flawless to be valuable, and delaying release often reflects fear rather than quality control. In this sense, the book reframes completion as a creative skill in its own right, not merely the final step after the real work is done. Thirdly, fear, imposter syndrome, and perfectionism are treated as normal parts of the process. The practice spends much of its energy on the emotional barriers that stop creative work from becoming visible. Godin does not present fear as an exception that only weak creators experience. Instead, he treats hesitation, imposter syndrome, and worry about judgment as ordinary human reactions that everyone must learn to manage. This is important because it removes some of the shame around feeling stuck. The book suggests that the problem is not the presence of fear, but the belief that fear should disappear before action begins. Likewise, perfectionism is shown as a delay tactic that can disguise itself as high standards. The practical implication is that creators should learn to work alongside discomfort instead of waiting for emotional certainty. Godin also challenges the usefulness of the writer's block label, arguing that professionals produce with intent. Whether or not readers agree with that strong statement, the underlying point is clear: creative work often depends more on behavior than on mood. By normalizing these inner obstacles, the book makes persistence feel less like a personal flaw and more like part of the job. Fourthly, the book emphasizes consistency over authenticity as a working method. Another important argument in the book is that consistency matters more than chasing a perfect sense of authenticity. Godin suggests that many creators overvalue the idea of waiting for a fully aligned emotional state before they work, when in practice, the more useful habit is showing up on schedule. This idea is significant because it turns creativity into something dependable. Consistency creates momentum, and momentum reduces the friction of starting. Over time, repeated effort also improves judgment, because creators learn from doing rather than from imagining. The book's approach is therefore practical rather than romantic. It does not deny that creative work should reflect the person making it, but it argues that identity is expressed through repeated choices, not through rare moments of self-expression. This perspective can be especially useful for readers who stall while trying to find the perfect voice or the perfect project. Godin's model encourages action first, refinement later. In that framework, consistency becomes the path by which a creator discovers what their work is, rather than the result of already knowing it in advance. Lastly, the audience matters because creative work is meant to be a contribution, not a private exercise. The practice also frames creativity as an act of service to others. Godin repeatedly implies that work gains meaning when it reaches a community that needs it. This does not reduce creativity to popularity or market demand. Instead, it suggests that making work is a way of solving problems, offering perspective, or creating value beyond the maker's own satisfaction. That is why the book stresses contribution. Creative work is not just self-expression for its own sake, but a deliberate offering to an audience. This emphasis changes how creators think about revisions, deadlines, and standards. Rather than asking only whether the work feels personally satisfying, they are encouraged to consider whether it is useful, clear, and ready to be received. The audience-centered view also helps explain why shipping matters so much. Work that stays private cannot serve anyone, by linking creativity to contribution. The book gives readers a stronger purpose for finishing projects. They are not merely proving something to themselves, but participating in a larger exchange between maker and audience. That practical social dimension distinguishes the book from more inward-looking creativity guides. In conclusion, the practice shipping creative work is best suited for readers who want a direct, unsentimental account of how creative work actually gets done. Artists, writers, entrepreneurs, teachers, and anyone who repeatedly starts projects but struggles to finish them will find the book especially relevant. Its main benefit is not technical instruction in a specific craft, but a clearer understanding of the habits and mental shifts that make creative output sustainable. Readers who are stuck in perfectionism, procrastination, or fear of judgment may find it short, forceful chapters useful, because they repeatedly return to the same core discipline. Show up, do the work, and ship it. What sets this book apart from many other creativity books is its refusal to treat inspiration as the center of the process. Instead, Godin focuses on practice, consistency, and contribution. That gives the book a practical realism that makes it stand out in a crowded genre of motivational writing. It is compact, opinionated, and designed less to entertain than to reframe how readers think about making and sharing work. If you would like to support Seth Godin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.